After being absent two Sundays, Carolyn and I are delighted to be back with you today. We had a very enjoyable time in Eustis when they celebrated their 50th anniversary, and at Mount Dora when they celebrated their 75th. We had about 400 in attendance at Eustis and about 300 at Mount Dora. But we're back with you, glad to be here, and hope and trust that you will find the lesson encouraging and inspiring as well. Had a telephone call some time ago, and the voice on the other end of the line said, "I'm discouraged. I need encouragement." Have you ever been visited by discouragement? I'm sure you have. Of all the people you would like to knock on your door, it would not be Mr. Discouragement. But he's no respecter of persons. Young and old, rich or poor, sad and glad, black or white, he visits them all. And if he hasn't knocked on your door, he will sometime. You can bet on it. And of course, among Satan's ploy is the use of unknown circumstances to create discouragement. It's all around us. It's a part of our daily happenings and our daily events. Do you suppose that Paul would have chosen to go to Rome had he known the circumstances that were to befall him en route? I don't know. Would Peter have revived his faith in the risen Lord, and had he had a clue as to what he was to experience as the disciple of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem? The point is, we need not allow circumstances to rule the day. But discouragement comes in various forms and manifestations. Sometimes it's a matter of lost hope and anticipation. Confidence that success is around the corner is no longer a sure thing. Doubt has entered the arena of our lives and planted the seed of faithlessness. We must become a possibility thinker and chase doubt away. Doubt should not have a permanent place in the lives of God's people. Yes, it knocks us down at times, but we believe that there will be bumps in the road. The strategy is to get up, dust off, and keep moving ahead. Weariness, it has been said, is born of discouragement. The Scriptures warn us of this threat. Paul advised us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Or as one translation reads, "lose heart." In Romans 12 and 2 he exhorted, "Be transformed and be renewed of your mind." And indeed we are renewed and refreshed by worship and service to our Heavenly Father. Hopefully that's what will result from this service in one case, and that is a renewal of our spirit and our mind. Discouragement has no right to rule the day or to reign supreme. We just simply need to move on to higher ground. Now what I'd like to do this morning, two things. I'd like to share with you some special passages from the Old Testament that teach us the meaningfulness of dealing with discouragement. I'd like, for example, to use a portion of Moses' farewell speech to the children of Israel recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 25 through 33. And I'd like to use the speech that he made as the children of Israel were about to inherit or to inhabit the land of Canaan, at least in spying it out. And consequently, the people became discouraged because some of the spies said, "We can't do it." And that's found in Numbers 32, verses 9 and 10 specifically. And then I'd like to use the story of Nehemiah, who was in charge of rebuilding the walls of the city of Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity in the city of Babylon. That's recorded in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 14. And then I'd like to use the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, Charlie, if I do all of that, it'll be 2 hours. But I promise you we'll be out by 11:30 at least. Now, I'd like to do that. And I'm going to be jumping around from one of those stories to another to do the second thing, and that is to share with you the causes of discouragement. If we can recognize the causes of discouragement, we can keep from being discouraged. And then in conjunction with that, I'd like for us to take a look at what we can do to eliminate discouragement in our lives. But first of all, let's note the causes of discouragement. I would suggest, first of all, to you that the first cause of discouragement is fatigue. You just get tired. You get worn out. You get weary. I mean, it's time to rest, right, Charlie? And the people were so busy about building the wall and doing their work that they failed to take time to rest. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto them 10 times, 'From all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you.'" That's certainly not encouraging. But they had grown fatigued. They were weary. They'd been at it for some time. They needed rest. And then you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And one of the most intriguing stories of the Old Testament is the relationship of Elijah with Ahab and Jezebel, the king and queen of Israel. Elijah had just had a contest with the prophets of Baal and defeated them, and they were killed. And Elijah was warned by Jezebel and Ahab, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Elijah was scared. Furthermore, he was tired. It had been a long battle with those prophets of Baal, and he beat them to the punch. He beat them at the altar of sacrifice. And now his life is being threatened by Ahab and Jezebel. And so he takes off and he runs. And he goes and he hides in the cave, and he's tired and he's fatigued. And he's discouraged. And he sees himself as the only one in Israel that's standing up for God. Here's what he said. And Elijah said to the voice that spoke to him, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." A little self-pity there. But Elijah was tired. And we'll see in a few moments what the remedy is when you're fatigued, when you're tired. But that's the first cause of discouragement. The second cause of discouragement, I call it frustration. Frustration. In Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Ezra also records some pointed facts about the rebuilding of the wall of the city of Jerusalem. Here's what Ezra writes. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of the Cyrus king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius king of Persia. So here you have an effort on the part of the enemies of God in delaying the building of the wall of the city of Jerusalem by frustrating the purposes of the workers. Of course, the goal of frustration is to break us and cause us to feel worthless, helpless, and insignificant. And so, Elijah, again, himself felt very insignificant. And I remind you of what he said. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Have you ever felt that you were the only one that was standing and abiding by the will of God? Have you ever felt that you were the only one who seemed to be leading and exemplifying the cause of Christ in the community, in your family, at your workstation, or wherever you might have been? Frustration sets in and you become discouraged. The third cause of discouragement is failure. Failure, of course, is a natural outcome of frustration if you allow frustration to rule the day in your life. It certainly is no confidence builder. In verses 10, they said, "We're not able to build the wall." Frustration led them to failure. I came across, historically, a statement written by President Theodore Roosevelt. If you have done any studies or readings about Theodore Roosevelt, you know that he was a very gallant man, a man who was very forceful, a man who was very successful. And he wrote regarding the problem of failure in people's lives, and here's what he said. It's not the critic that will count in the end. No, not the man that points out where others have stumbled and where others could have done better. No, the critic belongs to one who is actually in the arena. The one who might come up short again and again because he knows that there is no effort without error or shortcomings. It is the one who knows the great devotion. He knows the triumph of achievement, and who, if he fails, he falls at least while daring greatly. Far better it is to dare mighty things, even though you're checkered with failure, than to be with the poor souls who never enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the grave that knows neither victory nor defeat. You get the point? The point is, you got to try. Even if failure is around the corner, you must try. And if you do fall, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and proceed onward. The goal of frustration is to break and cause us to feel worthless and bring on failure. But failure need not be a bosom buddy. It need not be with us daily. We cast it off. And we proceed toward our goals established. The fourth cause of discouragement is fear. Fear of the unknown. As I mentioned a while ago, if Paul had known what he was to experience on the route to Rome across the Mediterranean Sea, would he have gone? If Peter would have known what he was going to experience as an apostle of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem and the establishment of the church, would he have committed himself? You see, the first step toward fear is listening to people who do not speak for God. Now, did you catch what I said? Fear usually comes because we're listening to the wrong voices. We need to listen to the voice of God. Furthermore, if you'll take fear and take a look at its letters, F-E-A-R, they simply mean false evidence appearing real. There's no reason we should fear. Someone knocked at the door. Faith answered and there was no call. Why? Because fear was there. As long as faith is used to answer the call of fear, we will have no fear. And there will be no failure. And there will be no frustration. And there will be no fatigue. Because it will all be taken care of as we serve God acceptably, understanding what fear is. Those are some of the causes of discouragement. Let's cast them out. And let's proceed to be encouraged by one another. But what are the steps in overcoming discouragement? What can we do in a positive way? What do the Scriptures teach us by example and by admonition? I would suggest to you, first of all, that you rest and reorganize your life. Nehemiah found that to be true as he dealt with the wall builders. In the fourth chapter in verse 13, the Scripture says, "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." It came to this. The enemies of God's people were attacking the workers on the wall. And it came to the point where they had to carry their instruments of work in one hand, hammers and saws and whatever, and in the other hand, weapons to defend themselves. And Nehemiah decided that the best thing to do is to get the whole family involved. And when you get the whole family involved, you're going to find people brought together because of reorganization. And then there will be those who will work for a period of time and then they will relieve somebody else or will be relieved by someone else. Rest and reorganize your life. Make some changes. We all could stand for change. Third, I would say resist being discouraged. Fight for your brothers, for your sons, for your daughters. For your wives, for your homes. Certainly, that was the case in Nehemiah's day in the rebuilding of the wall. After rest and nourishment, and you need nourishment, God says to us, return to work. I think one of the most interesting things about Elijah in 1 Kings 19, is what God instructed him to do. Now he hid himself in this cave from the threats of Ahab and Jezebel. And while he was hiding in the cave, of course, he kept hoping that God would communicate with him. And he kept thinking that, well, maybe God will come as a voice in the thunder, but it didn't. Maybe God would come in the strong wind that blew. No, he didn't. And finally there was a still, small voice, barely could be heard by Elijah. And it was God. And God said, "I got some things for you to do, Elijah. You've had rest now. You've had something to eat. You've regained your strength. Now it's time to go back to work. And here's what I want you to do, Elijah. I want you to go and anoint Hazael, king of Syria. And then I want you to anoint Jehu, king of Israel. And then I want you to anoint Elisha, the prophet I have chosen to take your place. Get busy. Proceed. Become active. Return to work. Finally, and this is extremely important, remember God is on your side. Nehemiah told the people of his day in Nehemiah 4 and 14, remember the Lord, great and awesome is His name. Monty. Great and awesome is His name. Remember that. Some of you have read some of the things that Corrie ten Boom wrote while she suffered in a Nazi death camp. But this one line I remember. She said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Interesting, isn't it? That a woman of her caliber, who's been corralled and shunted into a death camp of the Nazis, would write that while she suffered. Knowing that God is with us gives us that extra spiritual energy and power to do things we perhaps otherwise could not do. And so we are reminded of Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Discouraged? Yes, you may have been, you may be, and you may very well be in the future. But whatever, remember these steps in overcoming discouragement. Rest and reorganize. Remember God is with you. Resist being discouraged and return to work. God provides us great blessings as we serve Him and as we are obedient to His will. Perhaps there's someone in the audience who needs to complete his obedience to the will of God and to the gospel of Christ Jesus. You can do that by confessing Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, and by being buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of those sins. If we can help you and assist you in any way, we want to do that right now as we stand and as we sing.